Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Awilco Drilling PLC's Q2 presentation call. My name is Dave, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, at the end of the presentation, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to John Oliver Bryce to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, for that introduction. So, I'm John Oliver Bryce. I'm Awilco Drilling's CEO, and with me today, I've got Ian Wilson, the company's CFO, and we are gonna go through our Q2 earnings. For those of you who can see our website in front of you, we're gonna be following the presentation, which is on the IR page. And so I'll give you prompts for some of the page numbers as we go through the call that we're talking about. So page three, if you have that presentation, the agenda for the call today then, number one, we're gonna start with highlights. Number two, we're gonna talk about the financial results, the numbers in a bit more detail, and Ian's gonna help me with that. Number three, we'll give an operational update. Number four, we'll have a market outlook. We'll have a summary at five, and at the end, I'll hand back to Dave, and we'll do Q&A. So number one, the highlights then, which is page five of your presentation. So from our quarter, we are, we've got an EPS of $0.50, which is driving the announcement today then of our dividend of $0.20 per share. That's our dividend in respect to the quarter. And that was produced from a revenue of $33.5 million, an EBITDA of $24.6 million, and a net profit of $15.1 million from the quarter. So our operating cost or our OpEx, an average OpEx for our working rig, the Wilh Phoenix, came in at approximately $66,900 per day, and that is still a little bit less than guidance, but we'll go into the reasons later. But a very low number indeed, a good number in terms of financial results. And then the last highlight then is our total contract backlog at the end of Q2 was $113 million. So if we go and have a look at the numbers now, the financial results in a bit more detail. If you have the slide pack on page seven in front of you, we're gonna walk through the Q2 income statement. And Ian, would you like to walk us through the numbers?
Yeah. Okay, thanks, John. Yeah, for Q2 2017, with contract revenue of $33.1 million, and that equates to a revenue efficiency of 97.6%, so very positive revenue efficiency for the quarter. We had also included in there an adjustment in respect of the escalation that we had finally agreed with TAQA and Apache, and then that actually, in this case, resulted in a slight reduction in revenue. So for this quarter, we booked a retrospective adjustment of $1.3 million, and going forward, the headline day rate of $387,500 per day will be more in the region of $382,500, so a reduction of about $5,000 per day. And that is reflective of a reduction in costs that have occurred principally as a result of improved exchange rate over the past year. So total revenue, $33.5, and rig operating expenses of $6.3 million, which, as John mentioned, is per day OpEx of $66,900 for the Wilh Phoenix, and the Wilh Hunter, being cold stacked, I'd say coming in about $2,000 per day, which is less than our guidance of $3,000. The G&A expense of $2.5 million includes $700,000 in respect of the long-term incentive plan provision, so underlying G&A expense is $1.8, and depreciation consistent with the prior quarter at $3.9 million. Operating profit, therefore, of $20.7 million. Interest expense and other financial items, nothing really unusual there. So profit for the period before tax of $18.9 million, and tax at 20% of $3.8 million, results in net profit of $15.1 million and earnings per share of $0.50. On to the next page, which is page eight, the balance sheet. That's the rigs, machinery and equipment. Very little in respect of the additional capital expenditure during the quarter, somewhere in the region of 200,000. So we saw a movement, if you like, in the headline level there in respect of the depreciation charge for the quarter. So rigs, machinery and equipment at 231.5 million. Trade and other receivables 11.3 and the accrued revenue of 13.3. That's in respect of the May and the June revenue, and that's since been received in cash, so that's all quite clean. And the cash balance at the end of the quarter, 93.9 million. The current tax asset compared to prior quarter is down significantly, just a small amount remaining there. We had approximately 22 million in the prior quarter, but as a result of settling our Maltese taxes and recovering dividend credit, that current tax is reduced significantly, as is the current tax payable in the liability section, so that's been reduced also by a similar amount. Total assets there, 355.6 million. Retained earnings, they moved up based upon the retention from prior quarter, net of the dividend payout. Interest-bearing debt, long-term interest-bearing debt, reduced by 5 million due to the payment in April. And, that pretty much covers it. Nothing else really in the trade and other transfers. So total equity and liabilities, 355.6 million.
Okay. Thanks, Ian. So moving on from the numbers in detail, we'll touch on operations. So again, slide back, page 10. Look at the contract status for Awilco Drilling. So our current backlog as of today, $95 million. The two rigs that we own, Will Hunter, is cold stacked in the Gordon. That we are guiding on OPEX of $3,000 per day, but as Ian mentioned, we're coming in $2,000 per day for that at the moment. That's the guidance, but we'll still guide on $1 million a year. So that is Will Hunter being what we will call an option on the future. Will Phoenix, the rig that is working, is on the Apache contract. It was working for TACA as part of that contract, but came back to Apache, and it will finish with Apache in the start of Q2 2018. And at the moment, we continue to market the rig and participate in market inquiries and tenders looking for follow-on work for the Will Phoenix. On to the next page then, the highlights really from the operations. Operational uptime for Q2 was very good, 99.6% operational uptime, fantastic result there. And also continued excellent HSE performance, that was great to see. As I mentioned, the rig is on Apache contract, but it came back from a period with TACA. And if you remember that the three-year contract with Apache actually featured three operators. We started off in Marathon, Apache with TACA, and now we're finished with Apache, but it's an Apache contract. And then also a topic we've touched on, this was an escalation clause which was built into the contract, which was signed would have been almost 4 years ago, an escalation provision originally designed to protect the drilling contractor ourselves in a rising market, but it's actually worked the other way due to a reduction in costs. But the most important thing is even though the escalation clause has resulted in a slight reduction in day rate, our margin is protected because it's demonstrable costs, so we've saved money and so is the customer there. So okay, on to the dividend, slide 12. The numbers to mention there is the dividend is 20 cents in relation to the quarter. It's payable on the 22nd of September. It will trade ex-dividend on the 22nd of August, and our dividend policy remains unchanged. And that policy, I'll just read it for you one more time. It's the company intends to distribute all free cash above a robust cash buffer to support operational working capital requirements and capital expenditure, including SPS. So sticking with the same philosophy. Onto the market then, slide 14. We can see on slide 14 a graph of historic activity and historic day rates. Day rates as of today still continue to be at a low level, slightly above OPEX, but certainly a low level. There is still more market supply than demand, so there's no real pressure on day rates yet, but the number of contract awards and market inquiries is increasing, which is very positive. And in the last period, in our Q2 and the months that's followed on from that, there have actually been 10 fixtures, Deepsea Stavanger, MSS1, PBLJ, Island Innovator, Coastal's Innovator and Pioneer, Diamonds, Patriot and Guardian, Stennis Bay and West Hercules have all secured work in that period. So that is considerably more than the quarters that went before that, and a positive indicator of the market beginning to turn, though certainly no material change in day rates yet. If you look at the next page on slide pack 15, what that shows you is all of the semi-submersibles operating in the UK. It tells you by owner and then by rig. The comment from this quarter is that we have seen further attrition. We've seen that in the UK and globally. So the fleet, there are more rigs coming out of that. Well, we've seen Transocean continue with their attrition. We've seen Dolphin lose one. But what we've seen for the first time in the UK was we've seen Diamond announce the scrapping of three older rigs, ones that are very familiar in the UK, the Vanguard, the Nomad and the Princess. So that's three more floaters coming out of the UK, which is very important going forward, helping to balance the supply and demand situation in terms of semi-submersibles. So on to slide 16 then, the market a bit more general. More confidence in the market improving. Well, why have we got more improvement? Why have we got more confidence in the market improving? Well, some bullets there. I'll just run through them very quickly. We anticipated seasonal demand for next summer, and we're certainly seeing that. But there's also some term work has appeared and is appearing. So two kinds of work appearing for 2018. So that's positive. Day rates continue to be at challenging levels, but watch this space and watch it carefully as the marketed supply diminishes. Decommissioning work has firmed up and is being awarded. Taka, Nexen and Ripsil Sinopec have all recently fixed for decommissioning work. And decommissioning is something that we've talked about very often in anticipation that it was about to be awarded and hasn't. So that's gone on for many quarters, if not years, but now we can actually see decommissioning work being awarded, so that's positive. In terms of drilling activity, we're seeing market inquiries from all sizes of operators, from big operators to independents to small newcos. So participation at every level, and certainly interest of market inquiries from every level, that's also positive. The attrition story, I've talked about that a couple of times, very, very helpful in terms of rebalancing the market. And then the final bullet, which is gives us a bit of confidence about the market as well. This is to do with the further M&A activity we've seen in our sector, in our space. The A part, the acquisitions, we have seen some of that since the start of the year, but the M part, the mergers part, that's relatively recent, and we've seen the second of two drilling mergers very recently. We saw the Ensco and Atwood announcement, and now we've seen Transocean and Songa. So generally speaking, if you look in history, we've seen mergers occurring at the bottom of the cycle on the way up. And so if this is following the same trend, that shows that that indicates that we are, this is an inflection point. It also shows that drillers believe in the fundamentals of the market and also believe in a recovery of the market. So this mergers, the first two, and I think there'll be more, is quite interesting in terms of confidence about a market improvement. So that's the market in general. To summarize then our call, Number one, we announced a dividend for the quarter for 20 cents. Current contract backlog for Awilco Drilling as of today is $95 million. We have increased confidence in a market, in the market reaching a turning point or an inflection point. And finally, our company does continue to evaluate growth opportunities on a case-by-case basis, but very much very focused on opportunities that will create value rather than speculative ones. But in the meantime, we will concentrate on operational performance, generating cash, and securing new work for the Will Phoenix initially, and potentially the Will Hunter as the market hopefully improves. So that's the summary, and I'll now hand back to Dave to field questions. Dave.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad, and I'll open up your line. So if you have a question or comment, please press star one. At the moment, there's no questions on the phone lines. But as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star one on your keypad. We have no questions coming. In fact, we have a question coming through from Clint Edgington from Beacon Hill. Please go ahead.
Good morning or afternoon. I appreciate the information you've given us so far today. Could you just give us a little more color on the decommissioning tenders that you're seeing out there? The activity?
Yeah. Hi, Clint. So decommissioning, there's a large amount of decommissioning undertaken by the UK operators, but there's been a bit of a reluctance to start that. We've always advocated this is the ideal time to start decommissioning because it's just a cost to the operator. So in the low point of the cycle, the most competitive prices for rigs can be achieved. So it's taken a while to get going, but we've seen three pieces of work now starting. We're aware that others are planning. Some are market inquiries. I think there's one more tender in play at the moment. So the wheels are beginning to turn. But I think what will happen is if we do get back to a market recovery and it's all about operators looking to turn drilling, rig activity into revenue, then decommissioning will be pushed to the right again. So it's a bit of a catch-22 here. But the main positive to take from this is decommission has been talked about for a long time, and for the first time now we're seeing some really big number of different decommissioning programs actually being awarded and being close to be awarded, so that's a change, and that is very helpful in terms of the demand side, because what we want is the supply and the demand to come much closer together.
And the three pieces of work that you referenced, like, what's kind of the size of those pieces? I mean, how many rigs for how long would it take to knock out just those three pieces of work?
So TACA was an 18-month program. Nixon was a 12-month program.
I think it's a 12-month
program. And the Repsol Sinopec one was, I believe it's just one well, but they do have a significant program which they are finalizing in terms of planning. So that's just three of the many operators in the UK. So, but it's all very helpful in terms of the demand side.
Thank you.
Okay. Good day. Any other questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star one on your keypad. We currently have no further questions.
Okay. Well, if there are no further questions, I'd say thank you very much for dialing in, listening to our earnings call. And I'll hand back to Dave to close. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.